Well, as I said, I really have this had this focus on my heart for the women. The last words that we're going to be talking about today are, woman, here is your son, and here is your mother, which are the words he spoke to presumably his mother Mary and the beloved disciple who many assume is John. Among Jesus' followers were a devout group of women, and though the Gospels focus most of their attention on the 12 men Jesus called to follow him, we can glean from scriptures that these women traveled with Jesus. Some helped to pay for expenses using their own resources. And all four Gospels tell us that it was the women who were brave enough to follow Jesus all the way to the cross and witness his crucifixion. And we know it was a woman who first saw the resurrected Jesus. In the passage Luann read to us from chapter 19, like I said, Mary isn't even named. She's just listed as his mother. In fact, John's gospel never uses Mary's name, not once. Other women's names are used, but not Mother Mary. John also does not include any kind of genealogy or birth story like the other Gospels do. His Gospel opens by referring back to Genesis, describing how God spoke the word into existence. We read this every Christmas, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and Word is always capitalized. This is a clue for us as to how John connects Jesus, his identity, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection to God's intention for all of creation. There is no separate Old Testament and New Testament for John. It is one story, and we need to know all of it. And John's contemporaries did know all of it. So think back to the creation story. Now there are two in Genesis, so I'm going to be more specific and say the second one in chapter 2. How is man made in that story? This is, you get to participate. What is man made of?
Dust,
exactly, from the dust of the ground. In Hebrew, the word is Adama. Gee, I wonder where we get the name Adam from. Adama, from dust. And Adam is tasked with naming all of the plants and animals, but God notices that he's lonely. So God decides to make a partner for Adam. And how is this partner created? From his rib, exactly. And Adam sings a song of praise when he sees his partner. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one, because he's naming the new things, right? This one shall be called woman, or in Hebrew, Isha. For out of man, Ish, in Hebrew, this one was taken. So you have man, Ish, woman, Isha. And after they succumbed to the temptation of the forbidden fruit, and God tells them all the consequences of their actions, Adam gives the woman a name. And what does he name her?
Eve.
And that in Hebrew means to give life. And he explains the reason why he gave her this name is because she will become the mother of all living. Well, in opening his gospel with an introduction recalling the creation story, John hopes that his Jewish readers will make these other Hebrew scripture connections. Alas, many of us Protestants have focused on the New Testament over the generations, and so we've lost these nuances, these metaphors that are carried throughout all of scripture. these nuances that the contemporary audiences would have picked up on quite easily. So John opens with creation. He talks about the one who would prophesy and announce the coming of the Messiah. Who is that? I can hear it. Say it louder. You got it right. Who's going to announce Jesus? John the Baptist. Thank you. Oh, I know. It's hard work getting all these details. Jesus gets baptized. We hear the voice of God declaring, "This is my son." So now we know Jesus' identity for sure. And he calls those infamous 12. And then John takes us to a wedding, hoping to call to our minds the first married couple in creation. John never tells you one thing without meaning two or three things at the same time. John's gospel is focused on illustrating that Jesus has come to bring about a new creation, to restore everything that was destroyed in the original paradise, and to make it what God had intended for it to become. Now, John's not the first one to think of these ideas, because even though John's gospel comes earlier than Paul's letters were actually written first. John's gospel is newer than St. Paul's letters. And we can see in the theology of St. Paul, he has this same idea that Jesus is, he actually calls Jesus the second Adam. The first man was made of dust. The second man came from heaven. Jesus is the Word made flesh. God didn't just fashion Jesus out of dust, but is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, the Word made flesh, will get all the things right that Adam got wrong. On the cross, Paul believes that Jesus rescued us from the sin and death that the first man brought into the world. He doesn't blame Eve, he blames Adam. Dun, dun, dun! So if Jesus is the second man who rights the wrongs of the first man, of Adam, then who is the second woman? Take a wild guess. Since we don't think Jesus was married, Mary. Mary, for John, is the second Eve. Just like Eve, Mother Mary becomes the mother of all living, which is made possible because of Jesus. The one Jesus calls woman, he's not berating her. He's not talking down to her when he calls her woman. He's referring to the very first woman in all of creation. This woman, Mary, will play a significant role in the redemption of all of humanity. She gives birth and life to Jesus, the one who will save us. She is the one who propels Jesus into his public ministry, whose encouragement brings about the miracle that causes his very first followers to believe in him. If they had never believed, where would we be? In John's gospel, we only see Mary at the beginning and at the end. The inception of his ministry and the culmination of his ministry at the cross. And we hear the next in our series of Jesus' last words, "Woman, now you know this is a blessing. Woman, here is your son, and here is your mother." Some of his dying words were words of love and care that many of us would want to also leave with our families, that maybe we've even heard spoken from some of our loved ones. Take care of each other, right? When I go, love each other, stay in touch with each other, have each other over for Easter dinner, whatever it is, right? Don't lose touch. Take care of each other. One of the prayers that is part of our liturgy at the graveside at the end of the service is we pray, draw those of us who remain in this life closer to one another. Make us faithful to serve one another. We didn't make those words up. They're inspired by Jesus' last words. And Jesus' words are similar on that level. But John, like I said, he's like this author of symbolism, and he's never, ever just talking about one thing at a time. So I mentioned that he never names Jesus' mother. Did you notice he never names the beloved disciple either? Well, some scholars believe this was done because the gospel was actually written by a disciple of John, which is why it came out so much later. John was probably already gone by the time this gospel was passed around. So the disciple who wanted to honor John and tell his story simply wanted to imply that John was the favorite, Jesus' best friend, without actually saying it. It was a way of saying, now John would never have the gall to say this about himself, but everybody knows that John was the beloved disciple and John was his favorite. The beloved disciple was at all the major events, from the Last Supper to the cross to the empty tomb to Jesus' appearance at the Sea of Tiberias. Remember where he tells the fishermen who aren't catching anything, he tells, oh, throw your net on the other side of the boat, and they do, and it fills with so many fish that the net starts to rip, and the beloved disciple immediately knows who's on the shore, and he jumps out of the boat and swims to shore because he's so excited that it's Jesus. The beloved disciple is called to continue Jesus' ministry well into the future. So another theory, though, as to why John doesn't name Mary or the beloved disciple is because they're intended to be models for us, model disciples. They remain nameless so that we can put ourselves into their shoes. We can see ourselves in the story as disciples of Christ. Through them, we learn how to be in an intimate relationship with Jesus, how to stay close to Jesus, to hear his last words and his instructions to us, to have trust and confidence in the promises Jesus makes that we will have abundant life, and that we might see in Jesus the hope that overcomes anything this life can throw at us. Even death on a cross. We're meant to experience the depth of divine love and his desire to serve others out of that love. We are to experience the oneness with Jesus and the Father that has been intended since the dawn of creation, walking in the garden, just like that hymn. And we're to experience family in a whole new way, no longer bound by the traditional lines of kinship or tribe or race or gender or nationality. This is the added meaning to those last words, woman, here is your son, here is your mother. He was doing more than ensuring that his mother was cared for after his death, because after all, tradition tells us he had brothers, half-brothers. He's creating a new vision of family, a family of disciples, of believers, a whole new creation. And I can't say it better than Reverend Susan Robb, who wrote the book that we're using through Lent. So she writes in conclusion to this chapter, on the other side of Good Friday, things were never the same for Jesus' followers. Jesus' resurrection brought abundant life to them they could never have imagined. Although they continued to face new challenges and obstacles to overcome, they became a new creation, a new church, a massive new family that grew from a tiny cohort in Jerusalem to reach every part of the vast Roman Empire. Whatever Good Fridays we face, we will never be the same either. Through the power of the resurrected Christ, we can be something new, something transformed. Jesus can take what seems like a demolished mess and turn it into something beautiful. Let that be our hope, because that is his promise. Lean in, listen, be family to one another. Amen.